All right, today we are going to be discussing some things in the book of 2 Corinthians. I know we just finished up 1 Corinthians, so it works out well. And I was asked earlier this week what I'm preaching on. I said, I'm not sure if I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians or pick a topic. Well, we're in luck, or I'd rather say we're blessed, because in the book of 2 Corinthians, there's lots of topics. So we'll look at one today. Before we get into reading our text, though, I just want to give you a little bit of background. Now, granted, we've gone through the book of 1 Corinthians, so we already have a background of the individuals, kind of who they are, some of the stuff that they have struggled with. But just some things you might be interested in knowing. We'll give some history here for a moment before we get into the application of the message. So this letter, like all the letters that were written by Paul, we know that they come from his heart. He loved the church of God, those that he had led to faith, the churches that he had established and elected elders in and did all that sort of thing. He had a special connection to them. They were his spiritual children. And so we'll see that, of course, again in this letter, his love for the people. Now, this particular letter, it was sent to the church when he had founded in Acts chapter 18. If you're ever interested in looking at the connection of the Corinthian church and Paul's ministry there, it's found in Acts chapter 18, where he had this back and forth in his mind whether or not he should go there or not. Had a little bit of fear in him, but we know that he ends up going and serving there. He goes and he works there for about a year and a half. And when we think about maybe the questions in his mind, there was many things that, you know, had come up to him of why he might not want to go. A few months before that he went, he was beaten and he was jailed in Philippi, and then later he was chased out of Thessalonica and Berea by upset Jews. And when you have a lot of persecution in your life, sometimes it makes you think twice. You know, I've used the example before about how sometimes we have that mind of like a dog sometimes, and then there's the mind where we go, oh, I shouldn't do this. The example I give is, you know, there's a story about this dog and this parrot, and the parrot would always call the dog up to him, here boy, here boy, here boy, and the dog would, you know, come over there, and then the parrot would peck him on the head, and the dog, yip, 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 take off running. Here, boy, here, boy. Now the dog comes back up again, gets pecked on the head, just back and forth. Now, shouldn't the dog know he shouldn't go there? So in our human nature, we're kind of like that, right? Where we do not want to continue to get in harm's way. We don't want to be like that dog. And you know, when you're serving the Lord, as the Apostle Paul did, he received a lot of persecution, a lot of stuff he went through. And we don't judge him for questioning things, but He manned up and obeyed God, and he went even though he knew there would be issues there. Same reason why when he wrote in 1 Corinthians when he was in Ephesus, remember he said that there's great opportunity here, but there's also a lot of persecution, a lot of walls that are being built up here, so he knew that he should stay and take his time there. Well, we know that he goes to Corinth and he ministers there for a year and a half, and we know this church had issues. But something that's interesting, though, that we don't think a lot about, or maybe you've never learned it before, but I'm going to read something here for us today, and it's out of the Bible Knowledge Commentary, and this just gives a short history of the time frame, what was going on at this time, and then we'll get right into the lesson. So first thing we want to keep in mind is Paul first came to Corinth in the spring of AD 51, and he ministered there for 1.5 years. He sailed in the fall of AD 52 with Priscilla and Aquila to Ephesus, where they remained while Paul continued on to Jerusalem. At Ephesus, Priscilla and Aquila met Apollos, whom they instructed and subsequently sent to Corinth for a period of ministry. Find that in Acts chapter 18 as well. While Apollos ministered in Corinth, which you'll find in Acts chapter 19, in the fall of AD 53, Paul returned to Ephesus on his third missionary journey. Paul remained there for 2.5 years, establishing it as a center for evangelizing the surrounding provinces as well, Acts chapter 19. The letter mentioned in 1 Corinthians 5:9, so in our last study, so we're talking many lessons ago, there's a letter mentioned in the text. And it was a letter that was misunderstood by the Corinthians. So in 1 Corinthians, you see Paul writes about another letter that he had sent to them that they did not understand. They had some questions about. And that letter, we don't have. It's lost. It's lost to us today. So when we say 1 Corinthians, it's actually technically the second letter to the Corinthian church. Okay, the first letter is actually lost, but the one that God chose for us to have in the Word of God is what we call 1 Corinthians, his second letter. So it was misunderstood by them, and it was believed it was written during the early stages of his Ephesians while he was in Ephesus in that ministry. The third thing is Paul learned of the misunderstanding and of additional issues at that Corinthian church, and that's what sparked that the second letter that we know as 1 Corinthians. They had these issues there. So that's his second letter. 1 Corinthians is his second letter. Number four, but apparently the problems in the church, they were still not resolved. And it's possible that Timothy was the bearer of this news. We don't know for sure. But Paul then decided to pay the church a second visit. He sailed to them from Ephesus to Corinth. This, it seems, was a painful visit that we will see in chapter 2 of 2 Corinthians in a couple weeks or so. Apparently, because of the action of a man mentioned in 2:5 and 7:12, and the failure of the Corinthians to support Paul. After this visit, Paul returned to Ephesus. He sent a third letter to the Corinthians. But that letter is also lost, like the first one, carried by Titus, and it grieved Paul deeply to write this because of its stark how he disciplined them in that third letter, which we also do not have. Okay, and after a riot provoked by silversmiths, you find that in Acts chapter 19, Paul left Ephesus in the spring of AD 56. Bound for Macedonia, where a preliminary stop in Troas, where he hoped to rendezvous with Titus and receive news from him about the situation in Corinth. He wasn't able to find Titus there, so he pushed on to Macedonia, and he met up with him there. And he brought good news of the general well-being of the Corinthian church, but he had bad news about a group that was opposing Paul. This is why you see in some of these letters why Paul really pushes the fact that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. Because he always has some form of opposition against him. So although the church was doing fairly well in some areas, they also were dealing with persecution, false teaching, and all of these other things. And so when he gets news of that from Macedonia, his news that he gets from Titus, Paul writes a fourth letter to the church in Corinth, which is the letter that we will be studying, the book of 2 Corinthians. So you have the first and third letters. Those letters are lost to us. And so what we have is the second and the fourth letters, just some information there for you. And so I found that kind of interesting, but it also goes to show you that just because an individual writes something doesn't mean it's the Word of God. The Apostle Paul probably wrote many things, that God chose not to have in the Word of God. There's a big difference. We must understand that. And there, you know, there's lots of things written at this time that some people say, oh, that should be part of the Word of God. No, God chose for that not to be part of the Word of God. And so we have the complete canon in front of us today, what we believe God breathed, and you should have faith in that. And so just some interesting stuff. So, well, let's get started in reading this book. We're going to start in verse 1, chapter 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. We see in this text that a praise that is going out in some discussion of hard times. But we must praise God in our daily lives for His grace and His comfort in hard times, shouldn't we? We really should. We need to grace. We rejoice in tribulation, and part of that is because we understand the grace of God, how much He's given to us. We've learned many times throughout our study through the Scriptures that the reflection of us upon what God has done for us, that gives us hope. But not just what He accomplished on the cross, but what He gives us every single day. The Comforter. That is one of the names of God. The Holy Spirit of God, when Jesus prophesied to the disciples regarding after He left, He talked about the Holy Spirit coming and indwelling in them, and He would send the Comforter, a Comforter to them. And the Old Testament prophesies that as well, the Comforter. This is and our Counselor. Isn't that good news? You know, how many of you ever felt, man, I need some counseling? I need some counseling, some professional counseling. Well, we know a pro, don't we? We know a professional counselor, the Holy Spirit of God. He is our Comforter and our Counselor. He is truth. He is all wisdom. And even though the church in Corinth we see here would suffer or had some suffering going on, even though Paul did over and over again in his daily life. Look what he says in verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death. That is an awesome thing to think about. And you see this word used a couple times in our text. Delivered. Delivered. Don't you like the word delivered? Not just when a pizza is delivered, but like the opposite of that, like you're delivered out of something, out of a trial, out of a tribulations, and we have a couple things, and we'll get to it in our text, that we see deliverance, we see the word salvation, and not every time you see the word salvation doesn't mean save from the penalty of hell, right? It's deliverance from a physical situation. We're reminded, of course, that we are going to be totally delivered in this text, but you also have this physical context, the here and now, this power over sin in our lives that God has given to us because of what He accomplished for us on the cross. You know, and it's often in our hard times that we notice the blessings of God. Have you ever realized that? It's in those hard times that we notice the blessings. Yeah, sure, we notice God blessing us day in and day out. Sometimes we're just used to it, and we don't think about it, and we take advantage of the grace that God has given us. But then in those moments of hard times, it causes us to cry out to Him. Why do we do that? Because we know that He is the one, the only one, that can give us true peace. He's the only one that can give us the strength to go through the situation. We know these things to be true, but yet, in our spirit, we know these things, but in our flesh, we chase after some other things. Trying to get this peace. This can be done on our part by, we can run to food, you can run to alcohol, you can run to drugs, you can run to relationships, you can run to entertainment. Notice all those things have something in common, and that is they're physical and sensual in some way, something that you can touch and you can feel. And this is why the Word of God presses the Christian and challenges the Christian to concentrate on the things that are unseen. Those are eternal. We're going to read that in a little bit. Those are eternal, an internal and eternal. That's inside of us, the divine spirit, but also it's eternal. And also this other stuff, it's just physical, it's emotional, and we run to it for this fix. We can touch it. You know, this is why the Lord Jesus Christ, I truly believe in his prayer about the disciples and then us, in the same prayer, blessed are those who do not see, when he's talking in that whole context, right? Blessed are them who do not see. And I praise for those who aren't seeing him in the flesh, and praying for those individuals who we just have to live by faith, don't we? Those of us who don't, we have not seen the Lord in the flesh. We live by faith. We live by faith, which is good, by the way, because without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So it's good that we live by faith. But you know, He's given us other things to see. His creation is the Word of God. He's given us each other. Holy Spirit continually guiding us in our lives. Now when we go back in time and we look at the church in Corinth, remember the history, the culture of this day, of this church, and what Paul had to face. You have Paul facing groups of individuals who were opposing his authority over the church, who were doing things for self-exaltation, trying to lift themselves up. Remember the first letter to Paul, the intellectualism, men's philosophy, some of the stuff they had to deal with there. And this church really struggled in the pride department, didn't they? In many different areas. We talked about how the gifts of tongues and all these things, they were doing them out of pride, and they weren't paying attention to what was really important. Everyone was wanting a platform. This is dangerous because, number one, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Paul, he's like an under-shepherd, right? But, you know, in a sense, he's not the head of the church, but he has authority. He has authority given to him by God to keep these churches in line. He is to minister to these individuals. But yet he had individuals who were opposing him. The individuals who are opposing him are dealing with pride themselves, but also the church was dealing with pride themselves. And so what happens is men, doesn't matter if you're in the pulpit or not, we can fall prey to the praise of men. And in fact, praise of men, we long for that because, again, it is something that is sensual in nature. And it makes us feel at peace. Example, if I go to you and say, I don't like you, does that make you feel good? No. If I come up to you and say, man, I sure love you, you sure look good today, those are beautiful shoes, I can say whatever, anything to flatter you and lift you up, and that just makes you feel good, doesn't it? Oh, you're so smart, you're so clever, and you all are. You all are, right? But it makes us feel good, and but we can fall into a trap, can't we? Wow. He said he liked my shoes. And so all of a sudden, you stand in ways you didn't before. You know? And you start showing off, or you start, you know, exaggerating these things about ourselves. Man, I'm sure good at this. I'm sure good at this. You see this in kids. Where's Ethan at? He's in the nursery. Probably a good place. You know, sometimes he'll say, because if he knows something that someone else doesn't, he'll say, well, I'm smart. Basically saying, well, they're not, so they don't, you know, they don't know this. I do, therefore I'm better. Now, is that the right attitude? So we have to have some talks, right, sometimes about that. No, just like this whole idea of the body of Christ. God has gifted us in different ways, and we are to work together to glorify Him and present the gospel, you know, to the world and edify one another. Well, this Corinthian church this praise of men is something they go after. How does this fall into what we're talking about? Well, when you are a God pleaser and you worry about what He thinks, you're not scared to tell the truth about the Word of God. You're not scared to stand up against the false teaching of the day. That's what it is in this situation. When the Corinthian believer is going after the praise of men, one of the reasons or the root causes they were doing that is so they did not receive persecution. Same idea like in Galatians or anywhere else, we're talking about Judaizers. Let's add these things together. I don't want to cause any waves or have any issues, so they would rather look for the praise of men than the praise of God. Because they realize when they are doing what God asks in these hard situations, they're receiving a form of suffering. That's why we see in our text here that Paul, he talks about their suffering and his suffering. Well, how does this suffering come about? It is from being obedient to God in the situation in our text. So when the Corinthian church did that, they would receive some forms of suffering and persecution. Hardships, troubles. We see the word troubles, pressures. In verse 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. And we have something in common here, that we were pressed We were pressed out of measure above strength. You ever felt this way? Insomuch that we were despaired even of life. You ever been there? Whether or not it's suffering for God's sake or just suffering because you had something going on in your life, you just feel like dying. You just feel like giving up. Walking away from the truth. Look at verse 9. It says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. This is the turmoil that was going on, even in the mind of Paul, who we lift up. Oh, he's so tough. He's so bold. Now read his letters. He struggled inside too. Now, does that mean he's given up his hope in Christ? No, he's saying, I deal with this too, but I have to reflect upon the truth that God has told me. The power of the resurrection. The hope of glory that we have one day. The fact that I am saved forever. It's in Romans chapter 6 or 7, I think it is, where Paul's talking about the struggle of the flesh and the spirit, right? Wish I didn't. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I end up doing. Sound familiar? Even the Apostle Paul. Why? Because he's human. He's not Jesus Christ. But you know what? He still had authority over this church. And they are to listen to him. And what's interesting to me, and the connection just came to me just now, is he brings up his troubles and he brings up a fact here. I've been through this. You're going through this. I know what the answer is. I can help. And we see this in our text that when we go through a situation, we need to remember this, that when we're given a trial, it's something that God allowed, and it's usually to sharpen us, to shape us, to give us an experience how to overcome in our practical day-to-day lives by the power of God so we can help the next guy who's struggling, the other brother or sister who's hurting. We can be there and we can understand, just like the connection I was talking about with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Book of Hebrews. He was tempted as we are. He suffered all the things that we suffer. We can go to him boldly. Why? Because he understands. He's been through it all, yet without sin. And we see that same principle here in the Apostle Paul. He struggled, I understand. And really, when you look at this, let's get through this together. Troubles are experienced by all Christians. Sometimes people go through more than others. Sometimes it's self-inflicted. Other times it's because we have been doing the right thing in God's eyes and we're facing some sort of persecution, which is also, I guess, could be self-inflicted in one way. But sometimes we just live life stupidly. And we make stupid decisions. And then we have to face the music. But then there are times when we do the right thing. We live in wisdom. We live in truth, but yet persecution or suffering still comes our way. That's okay. Look at verse 17. Why? Because for our light affliction. Light? Doesn't it feel light sometimes, does it? Sometimes it feels like we have a humongous baby grand piano on our back, right? But for our light affliction. See, in the eyes of glory, our suffering is light. But praise God, his yoke is light. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. A moment. So, light affliction As we consider glory, as we consider eternity, as we consider the grace and mercy of God, as we consider the guidance from the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Word of God, the gift of each other, as we look at these things, this affliction should be light in our minds because of what God has given us, what He has succeeded in us, and what He has finished for us on the cross of Calvary. And it is for but a moment. How many of us have gone through a situation that we're not going through anymore? You don't even remember it. I've had many issues, many problems. This week I backed into a sign and dinged up the back of my car. That only lasted for a second. Okay. Only lasted for a second, right? It cost a couple dollars, but okay. These things happen though, but you know what? It is a light affliction. Really? We're going to let that ruin our lives? Let it ruin our day? And even in our bodies when we struggle with illness, and I can't understand that. God has blessed me thus far. I haven't had to deal with that. But you know what? Those who have, as hard as it is, know that the Word of God is still true. And it is a light affliction, and it's for a moment compared to what we have in glory. See, that's a problem. We have not learned to compare it to glory. We haven't. We just learned to compare it with other physical things in our life, other people in our lives. That's what we compare ourselves to. That's what we compare our problems to. We are supposed to compare our lives here to our lives, how they will be someday. That is the comparison. And when we do that, we can keep on going. Look at, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad these things are temporal? But the things which are not seen are eternal. And this is where our faith resides. This is what we hope for and what we look for. The source of all comfort in the midst of troubles is God Himself. He is what we look for. He is the source of all comfort. I'm trying to think of an analogy here. There are many sources in this church of water. I can go, well, thanks to John Lowell, I can go and I can get the nice bottled water. I can go that, get that route. I can go to that sink. Any sink in here, I can pour out water. I can even stick my head in a toilet. And I can drink water there. Okay? And you know what? It all comes from the same pipe. But I'm not going to go stick my head in the toilet for a drink of water. Your dog might do that, but I'm not going to do that. I will go to the sink to get my water. Where do you go to? What source do you go to for your nourishment? What source do you go to for your peace in the midst of suffering? Who is your source of comfort? What is your source of comfort? Is it a thing? Is it a person? Is it a relationship? Is it God? Because if God isn't the source of your comfort, you will not ever understand comfort. And you will fall into a trap. And since according to our context, we're given a choice to serve God and do as He pleases, do what's right in His eyes, versus doing what's right in man's eyes. When it comes down to these two choices, and my comfort is not found in God, and it is found in people or things, physical things, who do you think I'm going to run to first? I'll run to the world, to mankind. And that's why it's so easy for us to run there, because we do not practice finding our comfort in the Comforter Himself. That's the source I want to go to. This is drinking water out of a toilet, the world. I don't want that. I want my comfort to come from Him. Think about it this way. Paul's verse here in verse 17, when he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it'll be over with by the end of the week, and we all live and die, and then it's blackness afterwards." Wow. Where's the hope in that? You see, that's not what this verse is about. It can only be a light affliction, and it can only be like for a moment in our minds when we compare it to eternity. When we compare it to the physical, the here, and the now, our afflictions are tenfold. This is not where God wants us to reside in our minds. For as the sufferings, in verse 5, going back, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, your deliverance from this issue. Whatever issue you're going through, when we suffer, it's for your Jesus' sake, right? His name, but it's also for the sake of those who are looking, because they can learn from it if we're handling it right, hopefully. And whether we be afflicted, it's for your consolation, salvation, which is effectual and the enduring, getting through the same type of sufferings which we also suffer. We're also comforted. It is for your, and whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation, salvation. So you can learn. Whether a person's in a situation, good or bad, we can learn from each other. We're here for each other. But praise God that He is there. You see, Paul is trying to get the Corinthian church, and God's trying to get all believers to understand through this letter, this sort of mentality of looking to Christ and in the midst of trials, and seeing others do the same thing in the midst of trials, it is to produce a patient endurance within each and every one of us. You see, that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Patience. When we are living with the right mentality, you can be used of God in a powerful way. You know, sometimes Christians think there's no way that I can be used of God in my situation. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Well, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm not a musician. I'm not a good writer, so I can't give people cards and stuff like that. I don't know what to say. I'm too introvert to talk on the phone or call somebody. There could be many things we think about, I'm too shy. Well, have you ever thought, how do you deal with your suffering in your life? Did you know that you could be used of God powerfully in that way? When a trial comes your way, I know of individuals in my past. Some have passed on, some have not. There's a lady used to attend our church. Phyllis was her name. Stoddard, last name, I believe. Cancer. How did she deal with that? If you knew her, she dealt with it in the right way, didn't she? Folks who knew her that are here. Now, was she a teacher? Did she get up here and teach us and preach from a pulpit or teach a Sunday school class or anything like that? No, she taught us through her life in the midst of suffering. You can do that. I can do that. Why? Because of what we are looking for, towards. What we are looking towards. Our hope is in Almighty God. We're going to stop there for today, and because I don't want to move off of that topic. I want that to settle in for us today. But at this moment, let's pray. We'll ask God for His guidance in our lives. Dearly Father, Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, and Lord, the hope that we have in you. We allow things to just get us all riled up in this life, and we use fear of persecution or loss of friendships to keep us from shining a light in this lost world. We have nothing to be scared of. Fear is of the devil. And Lord, we are supposed to flee from him and draw nigh to you. We're supposed to have lives of faith and hope. And Lord, we need your help for that. And that's why you gave us the divine nature. The Holy Spirit lives within us today to help us. We pull from his strength. That's how we can overcome. May we not live by the flesh, but by the Spirit. May we not look for the temporal fixes. Or this physical realm, the things that are going on here on this earth as our place where we can find happiness. It is found in you and you alone. And Lord, as we look forward to eternity, may that stir up praise and worship in our hearts. And Lord, may we serve the Lord together as one body, you as the head. Here at Billings Bible. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.